Blog Talk Radio.
Good afternoon. Hi, my name is Jeanette Abney, and I want to thank you for joining me here for another episode here at Precious Predicaments Blog Talk Radio. Now, I want to first thank my Heavenly Father for waking me up this morning, and I want to thank you, dedicated listeners, for joining in, listening to the show, sending me emails as far as what your questions or comments are, and also contacting me on my Facebook page. I truly appreciate it. And also, I want to tell you, please share the information with other people. And one of the reasons why I do this is to basically promote, educate, encourage, and share therapeutic tips and tools with individuals that may not have the opportunity to either go to therapy and kind of like to break the taboo of therapy. Because a lot of times individuals think when they go to therapy, it means that something's wrong, they're crazy, and that's not the point. That's really not it. They always say you're crazy if you don't go get no help. So that brings me to the topic for today. Now, today's topic has to do with what's called the empty nest syndrome. And I want to say, me being a parent myself of two adult children, I'm also a grandparent, I wanted to do this show because I was so frustrated last week. I said, I want me some empty nest syndrome. And when I said it, it was in a joking way. Because, like I said, my children are adults. So I have a daughter who is 31. And I have a son who's 33. So my kids are grown. So I kind of went through this stage already. But I want to say, growing up in Compton and just the way I grew up, I've never heard of that term before. You know, I used to tell people, and my friends used to tease me and my sisters because we was getting kicked out at the age of 10. So I guess my mother was trying to have an empty nest syndrome when we were kids. I called it child abuse because she was trying to make us homeless at a very young age, and we didn't know nothing about it. Now, I want to start off by saying that being a parent is not easy, nor does it come with a manual. The feelings and emotions that a parent can experience can become overwhelming if not addressed appropriately. Now, children are given to us as a gift from God. And, however, being a parent never ends. And part of it is we are always going to be a parent, but our children will grow up. Now, as our children are growing up, parents may miss their companionship or daily contact. There may be different cultures in regards to people's cultures. There are different cultures, different beliefs when it comes to the process that will naturally transpire once a child become a young adult, meaning some individuals believe that the children or their adult children should not leave home until they're married. And then some individuals, and especially children, adult children, are battling with their parents for their autonomy. And then some, there's a sense of entitlement. And then some don't want to go nowhere. It's like my daughter told me, I ain't never asked to be grown. So we all experience different things. And I can truly say for myself, growing up, I couldn't wait to leave home because I was like, I can't take this no more. And it was interesting because growing up, I saw so many grown people living in a home with their parents. So I said, I don't want to live with grown kids. I don't, because grown kids don't want to clean up. They don't want to do what you ask them to do. They want to be grown when it's convenient for them. So that was my motto. Now, but when we're talking about this process that will naturally transpire once a child becomes a young adult, many parents struggle with that. In addition, their adult children do too, which brings us to the topic, empty nest syndrome. Now, for many of you that may have never heard of this word before, the empty nest syndrome is a feeling that may present as grief or loneliness that a parent may feel when their children leave home for the very first time, such as due to either living on their own, some may be graduating from high school or college, some may be going into the military, or perhaps your young adult may be getting married. Now, understanding the feeling that precedes may be it of anxiety or depression. This is often misunderstood, and it can affect the life of both the adult child and the parent. So a lot of times the parent can be experiencing anxiety, the adult child can be experiencing anxiety, because it is a grief process, because you kind of get used to things. And it's funny because we've seen shows of, you know, parents going to their kids' college or their home, doing their laundry, or when they married, the young wife is upset because she married a mama's boy. So we've seen these things, and these are some of the issues that many people need to address. Now, when we talk about that, even with understanding the anxiety and how it affects both the adult parent and child and others, there are steps that one can take to prepare for this process. Because if left untreated, the symptoms can make one vulnerable to depression, alcoholism, identity crisis, or marital conflict. With help, there are possible benefits, which could consist of new opportunities to reconnect with one another, improve the quality of one's marriage, or perhaps rekindle interests that one previously felt they did not have time for because they were so used to being a parent. So if you want to join in on this conversation, or if you have any questions for myself, or maybe of some of the things you may hear, or you may want to add your input, feel free to give me a call at 516-387-1914. Again, the number to call in if you would like to join in on this conversation is 516-387-1914. Now, I want to say I've been looking at a lot of my Facebook postings, and I really want my cousin's wife to call in, and I don't want to put her on Front Street and call her, but if she don't call in, I may just have to do that. So I may have to give my cousin a call and find out what is her phone number so that we can bring her on, because I've been looking at all the postings of my cousin's son's graduation, and this is her son's first graduation, and she's so excited and she's so happy, but it looked like she's so stressed out too. So I want her to join in on this conversation because I really want her to share what it is she is going through and her emotions with this, because a lot of times we have a hard time letting our children go. And I want to say it was very interesting because I remember when my daughter went to college, and that was a while ago, I want to say it was in 2005 when she graduated high school, she was teasing me because when I dropped her off, she said, "Mom, you didn't even come in. You just left me. You just put my stuff out on the curb and kept going." And it was interesting because I had never experienced dropping a child off at college. All I wanted to do was just go shopping. And so even though I wanted to go shopping, I forgot about all the other stuff that kind of go along with that. So I had to, when she brought it to my attention, I didn't even realize that I had done anything wrong. I thought everything was okay until she was like, "Well, Mom, you didn't come in. You didn't check things out." And I didn't. I really didn't. So don't be like me, because like I said, I know a lot of parents are going to be or have already visited college campuses, and, you know, they may know where their kids are going. But I want to say that that is a scary, scary situation. It is very scary. But by that same token, it is well worth it. So I'm looking at, let me see if I can reach my cousin. I know she'd probably go kill me right about now. Let me find her number. Give me 1 second. And again, if you want to call in, give me a call at 516-387-1914. I'm trying to find her number. Okay, look like I don't have her number. So let me see if I can reach my Auntie Cecilia and have her tell to give me a call. Okay, let me see if I can reach my auntie. Because I tell people, if they don't want to call in, I will call them.
Hello.
Hey, auntie, how you doing?
Good, how you doing?
I am okay, but I want to let you know you're on the radio. And you're only on the radio because I can't find Saran's phone number.
I'm on the radio now?
Yeah, you're on the radio right now. I'm calling because I was trying to reach John Earl's wife because I told her to call me because I wanted her to call in because today's topic is about the empty nest syndrome, and I wanted her, after looking at her Facebook posting of what she was going through with her son's graduation, I wanted her to share that information.
Okay.
So, and I don't have her phone number. So, what you can do is you can call her after you tell me your experience with that first, because you had to go through the emptiness syndrome too. And then you can give your daughter-in-law a call and have her give me a call. But I have a question for you. I know growing up we never heard of the emptiness syndrome. We didn't even know what the heck that was. Now, when your first child moved out of the home, how old was your first child?
19.
So it was John Earl or was it Saran?
Yeah.
So when
John Earl moved out.
How did you feel about that when he first moved out?
I don't know. It seemed like a part of your family is gone.
Mm-hmm. How did you handle that? How did you handle your feelings?
How did I handle them?
How did you handle it?
I started doing a lot of barbecues and, you know, family time, so I wouldn't miss him.
Mm-hmm.
And then until he left and went out of state. You know, and then that's kind of lonely.
Okay.
But, I try to stay around my kids as much as I can. You know, we start having Sunday fun day to be around each other, you know, cookouts and things like that.
Mm-hmm. So you just started having little events to try to bring them to you, to bring them around.
Yeah, so we can go around each other,
Okay.
Come around a lot, keep the family together.
Yeah, and you know what? And a lot of times individuals don't realize how important that is to try to keep the family together. Because a lot of times, you know, parents, you know, because I know with Jean, with my mother, she would do that, but she would get us over there and then try to run us back away again. Now, she did. She made us realize why the hell we left in the first place.
Because she just missed you and she wanted to see you, that's all.
Yeah, but you know how she treated us, how she was talking, and Lord have mercy. It was crazy. Now, when we talk about what are the stages of emptiness syndrome, your first kiss, your first love, your first child, your first adult child moves out. Now, I have some information, and it says, according to the Cigna Healthcare, family life cycles have 5 stages. 1 stage is the independence from your parents. 2 is settling down with a partner. 3 is becoming a parent of your own children. 4 is launching your adult children into their own independent stage, and 5 is your retirement years. Now, when we start talking about the emptiness syndrome, sometimes known as what they call the post-perinatal period, even though it isn't a medical condition, it could be a combination of separation anxiety, sadness, satisfaction, and possibly, maybe with a dash of adventure thrown into the mix. And just like the family cycle, it has those stages that we define. Now, Auntie, I want to say with my children, I couldn't wait for them to move out. I was like, okay, now I could do this, I could do that. Now, Keisha be trying to remind me because she used to always say, I never said I want to be grown. But the problem is living with adult children is hard. I don't know how to do that. I get a serious attitude. I be pissed off. I got mad at Tisha last night. I told her, I am not talking to her. Because I asked her to help me move a TV last night because I had a slab leak, and she never came to help me. And I thought about it. I said, if my mother asked me to do something and I didn't do it, she would have politely just put me out, stuff out, and everything else. Now, I want to say she made sure she paid her rent this month, because I guess that way she'll say, I'm going to have to evict her if I kick her out. But by the same token, I was so mad. I was like, how you not going to help me? Now, children leaving the nest is hardly the end. It is not the end of being a parent or the end of your relationship with your kids. And I think a lot of times, Auntie, that's one of the things that parents go through. Now, with my son, when Rachel would get mad at me, Mom, I ain't talking to you no more. Mom, I'd be like, fine, remember what you said. Don't call me. You don't call me, I won't call you. You know, so his thing was a little different because I showed him I'm living here. Now, again, it's not the end. You have to look at the numbers of life expectancies for Americans. It's about 78 years on average. And the average age of a woman has her first child is kind of roughly around 25, and sometimes it could be, people could be younger than that. So when you do the math, when you do your math, basically, your firstborn could be about 50 at the time of their parents passing. Because I know when my mom passed, I was in my 40s when she passed because my mom passed at a very young age. But the thing is, when we transition into that adulthood, a lot of times individuals are kind of afraid for their kids to grow up. Now, I have a question. Were you afraid for your kids to grow up?
You know, the only one I was afraid for was the oldest, the girl. Because when he left, it was hard for me to let go. You know, when he got married, I wanted to control his you know, still control his life. And, you know, you try to get the right partners and stuff. But then I realized that I was latching on too much. So now Romy, I don't bother him and his wife. You know, and I know I don't bother John or his wife anymore either once I realized what I was doing wrong.
Mm-hmm.
You know, but it was just hard to let go of that first one.
Wow. And, you know, that's interesting that you admit that because a lot of parents don't admit and nor do they know when to back off. They will keep doing it and doing it and doing it and not realizing that they are causing issues in their children's lives and their marriage. Because I know my mother didn't care. My mother would try to run off every boyfriend, every husband. I mean, she just, boy, we would be nuns if it had been left up to her because she would make sure we wasn't going to be with nobody. Now, I want to give you some information, and I found this in what's called the Huff Post, and it's online, and it says four things they never tell you about the empty nest syndrome. Now, these four things that they have to admit is that it can be very emotional for individual, because when you're talking about going to you know, we shed tears at preschool graduations, elementary graduations, middle school graduation, and especially high school graduation. But part of those tears can't be tears of joy, but a lot of it is tears of fear because we are afraid for our children. Because I had to learn when I moved to Oceanside. My mother had a hard time with that, but she would often come and visit too.
Right.
And by her coming to visit, she felt more comfortable coming to visit, but she would still cause chaos when she would come. Now, Auntie, I got you on the phone like this. If you want to call in, you could just dial the number, and then that way the sound will probably sound better. Because I can hear a lot of noise. Let me give you a number. Call in at 516.
Oh, wait, just a call. And you know what? I can call Carmel and ask them to call
me. Call Carmel, because I really want to talk to her. Because she was just such a big baby. I was like, oh, poor thing. She needs to call in on the radio show.
Okay, what is the number?
Call 516-387-687.
Oh, 387. Okay,
breaking
up.
1914. Okay? All right, tell them I said give me a call because if I get their phone number, I'm going to call them. Okay? So, and call in on the number yourself, and then that way the sound will sound a little clearer. Okay?
Okay.
Thank you, Auntie. Okay, bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Okay, so, in regards to basically what I was talking about, and talking about the fear, but these roles kind of change. And I'm going to give you four of the roles, how confusing the shifting roles can be. And because those roles can be very confusing because, like my auntie was saying, she was so used to being in control and telling her kids what to do. And I admit her honesty in regards to that because a lot of times parents don't know when to back off or they don't know when to mind their own business. And like I said, I learned with my kids growing up, especially my son, I was not going to get into the drama of his baby mamas. I was like, this is your problem now. I do not have to deal with it anymore. Now, another thing is with the role is, or the shift is, how hard the absence of the one child is on the other siblings. Now, a lot of times there may be more than one child in the home. And even though there may be more than one child in the home, just that one child transitioning out may cause some feelings and emotions because their siblings will even miss their sister or brother when their child is going off to college, because it changes the whole family dynamics. So not only has it impacted just the parents, but it also could impact, you know, their siblings, their cousins, the neighbors. Everybody starts missing them. Another area is how important time with just the family unit really is, especially during your child's last year of high school. Now, a lot of times, it's interesting how it's designed that during that last year of high school, that's when individuals basically have a lot of less school to do because they have more of a social life. But one of the things is when you're talking about just that last year, you want to try to go and make sure that they're prepared. You want to try to make sure they know how to cook. You want to give them all these rules that you never really instilled in them from day one. Another one is how you're not going to be the parent you think. Now, I always tell individuals, especially when I do my parenting classes, we parent the way we were parented because that's really all we know. And even when we try to do the opposite, we still parent the way we were parented. So even though you may say, I'm not going to be like this, I'm not going to do that, hate to tell you, we do it anyway. Now, again, if you want to call in on the show and you have some questions, because I am going to give you some tips, some tools. I'm going to teach you how to recover from the empty nest syndrome if you're going through it, or if your child will be a senior next year, to try to help you prepare for what is to be expected. And a lot of times I want to say one of the biggest things that I see, especially from parents, is sometimes that guilt, that if I coulda, woulda, shoulda. And if you've done the best that you could, don't worry about it. Because once you plant that seed, it's going to be up to your adult child to then, like my daughter would tell me, figure it out. You want to be there to make sure that you are supporting your child, and whether you're supporting them financially, whether you're supporting them emotionally, or whether you're supporting them spiritually. But make sure you also know your role, because that is going to be very important, is to know your role. Because if you don't know your role, and then you start winding and you start becoming distressed or stressed out and lonely and going through all these different emotions, that's going to cause some problems in relationships that you may be encountering, whether it's going to be at work or whether it's going to be in your home if you still have, like I said, other children, or whether even if it's not the fact that you have other children, but just even within your marriage and within your relationship. And I want to say also, I noticed that the father and the mother, and depending on the gender of the child that's transitioning in regards to the empty nest, they kind of handle things a little differently, because fathers become very overprotective over their daughters, where I noticed that mothers will become very protective over their sons. So I find that to be quite interesting, because a mother would say, let her be a woman and figure it out. Now, I have a call coming in. Maybe my auntie. Let me see. Hi, this is Jeanette. How are you doing?
Hi.
Okay, thank you. Were you able to reach her?
Carmel's in the middle of a proposal, so she says she's very busy at work, and Shawn is not answering, I guess because her youngest is graduating today.
Oh, so she got a youngster graduating. Wow.
Yeah.
Wow. Okay, well, you know what? Hopefully they'll get to listen to it, and hopefully they can, you know, get some tips and tools, because, like I said, this is something that I had never heard of when I was growing up, and even when I had my children, I didn't know anything about the empty nest syndrome. And it's like, where in the world did this term come from? So, again, and I wanted to do this show close to graduation as we were, you know, people are preparing for this because of the emotions. And especially if you are worried about the empty nest syndrome or you need or you want to find out how it affects parents or be prepared for the transition and how to cope, there's a lot of information that you can find either via on the internet or you can either seek professional help from a licensed therapist, a life coach, or just, and there's also taking parenting classes can also help. Now, again, my name is Jeanette Abney, and I am a licensed therapist. I have 5 different office locations located in the city of Oceanside, Fullerton, Garden Grove, Huntington Beach, and in Marietta, California. I also connect with other therapists, Dr. Lisa Romaine. I have a Dr. Phoebe Wooden, who's also located in Oceanside. So if I'm not able to help you, I may be able to refer you or try to help you get connected. And one of the things, too, Auntie, is a lot of individuals don't realize that with their mental health insurance or medical insurance, it does cover a mental health component. Now, it may not cover family therapy, but you can get individual help to help you. Because once you help yourself, then you're able to help your family. Now, when we talk about what emptiness syndrome and why do some parents experience it, it's interesting because some parents may experience it, Auntie, and some may not. Because emptiness syndrome, like I said, it's not a clinical diagnosis. Instead, emptiness syndrome is a phenomenon in which parents experience those feelings of sadness and loss when a child leaves home. Now, like I said, or you could be like me and be happy they go. Now, even though those feelings become mixed and you want to encourage your children to become independent, and like I said, that was my main thing. I wanted my kids to be independent. I didn't want them to have to depend on me. I didn't want to be in their business. I just wanted them to, like my mother used to always say, if I die tomorrow, what you go do? So I wanted my kids to be able to stand on their own 2 feet. Now, even though this experience of letting go can be painful, and you might find it difficult to suddenly have no children in a home who you need to care for, you may or you might miss being part of your children's daily life as well as their constant companion. And Auntie, I want to say even with my sister, Boogie is horrible with this because Boogie do not know how to let go. She want to make you breakfast. She want to baby you. She want to, I don't know. And both of her kids are grown. And I mean real grown. I graduated last year. And she now got nephews living in the house, and it's like her door is just a revolving door where she feels she has to be needed or parent someone. And it's like, wow. And the part of the people forget is it interferes with your life. You know, I like being able to come and go as I choose and go where I want to go. I get an attitude sometimes when somebody be like, do you want a babysitter? I'm like, I'm good. Now, Even though, and I'm saying that, I know teacher's supposed to be bringing Ryder to me at 3 o'clock. I was thinking of trying to go take a lunch break so I could be gone when she get here since I'm still mad at her. But it's all good. Now, even though you might also worry about your children's safety and whether they'll be able to take care of themselves on their own, you might struggle with the transition, but we got to adjust. Now, Auntie, I want to talk about how to cope. Now, if individuals are experiencing those feelings of loss due to the emptiness syndrome, I want you to take action. For example, accept the timing. Avoid comparing your child's timetable to your own experience or expectation. Instead, focus on what you can do to help your child succeed when they leave home. You know, Auntie, things are different from when I left home, from when you left home. And when did you leave home? Did you leave home when you got married? Or did you leave home before then?
When I got married.
That's what I thought.
But I got married at 18. Yeah, I got married at 18 and I left.
How was Grandma when you left home?
I don't think it bothered her because I used to go over there still almost every day. Because, you know, I still moved to Compton. You know, we were living in Compton. I still moved to Compton, so I was in walking distance.
Because it was interesting because even though it's crazy that you guys are not that much older than me, well, I realized that when I did the math, but I was around Lizzie and Shiner more because of our age, so I remember them being at home more than everybody else being at home. And
right.
with Grandma being more of a homebody, and I know she was very protective over Lizzie and Shauna, so I'm like, okay, how did she adapt to when everybody else moved out? How did she handle that? You know, and things are different because kids, even when we talk about the cost of living, when you're talking about paying rent now versus paying rent back then, it costs a lot to live on your own, and we get that. But a lot of young adults don't realize all we want is to see our children strive to at least try. If you take one step, we'll help you with the rest. But at least try. Because sometimes one of my big pet peeves is individuals have a sense of entitlement, like their parents owe them. Or are you supposed to pay my bills? Are you supposed to buy me? No. Because then they don't appreciate it as much when they do it on their own. What do you think about that, Auntie?
Well, you know, if they have it, I think it's okay. But, like Terrell, the one that just graduated, John's son that just graduated, Carmel gave him a car and everything, but that's because both of them are making money now. You know, they make good money now, so they could afford to. But Johnny feels like they owe her a car from when she graduated. She's 25 now. And she's upset because they gave Terrell a car and she didn't get a car. So she feels like she's entitled. So she was entitled to one. You know?
And that's the point. And it's that sense of entitlement that becomes the problem. Or one sibling will say, well, you did this for so-and-so or you did that for so-and-so. It's like Reggie used to get mad and say, well, Tisha gets to stay there. Why I can't stay there? First of all, Tisha's staying there for a reason. And it ain't like me and Tisha live together. Have to commingle from time to time, you know, but I refuse to live with Reggie because Reggie don't want to pay no bills, Reggie don't want to clean up, Reggie want to sneak people in your house, I'm not living like that, I refuse, because one of us be in trouble. So, but we have to basically accept that. And another one is keep in touch. Remember, by taking action, you can continue to be close to your children even when you live apart. What parents can do is make an effort to maintain regular contact through visits, phone calls, emails, texts, and video chats. And one of the things is, too, the adult child will try to put their parent in place, but you have to do it in a way to where you are setting appropriate boundaries. I want to say, Auntie, boundaries are so important, and that's one of the things that we miss is setting boundaries. And boundaries doesn't mean you're going to tell people what to do. Boundaries mean that I want you to respect my line here. This is, you know, clear communication. It's okay to be firm, but be fair. And you don't have to try to, you know, seek revenge or talk about how bad your parents was and what your parents didn't do for you and all of those things. I tell adult children now, if your parents didn't do it for you, do it for yourself. At least you know what you want. You know what you like.
Right. Mm-hmm.
So keep in touch, but that goes both ways. Mother's Day is so sad sometimes when parents or their kids are angry with them and don't want to call their parents for Mother's Day or, you know, be vindictive. It was interesting. I woke up this morning. I've been in such a bad mood. I was mad at Tisha and mad at my dog. I'm mad at everybody right about now. With that slab leak, I was wondering what my dog was missing. And I'm like, I woke up at 3 o'clock in the morning. I could not sleep. I go open up my door. That dog was in my bed. I was pissed off. Now, I got to sleep on a blow-up bed while this little stinky dog got the nerve to be in my bed. I was like, come on, you get out. Get out. You know, I got to wash my linen, everything. Dog dug up my whole bed. But by that same token, talking about, you know, the boundaries, setting limits, and things of that nature. Another thing, like I said, seek support. If you as a parent is having a difficult time dealing with the emptiness, lean on loved ones and others close contact for support. Share your feelings. If you feel depressed, consult with your doctor or mental health provider. And also, stay positive. I want to say, Auntie, I think that was one of the things that I kind of struggled with. And I'm kind of going back and forth because I want to say when I was texting my friend and I was telling him what I was dealing with, what I was going through emotionally, and I was saying to myself, I always made Father's Day a living hell for Carter. Every Father's Day, that was my day to get him back. I would send him a card or I would call him, but I would do it in a way where he would always want to call and fuss at me because I got fussed at, and I would be probably the only one that would tell him Happy Father's Day, but he would call and want to go off on me. And I said, this is going to be the first Father's Day I'm not going to be able to do that to him. But I've been doing it all my life. All my life I've done that. He'll call me, well, you ain't calling me for Father's Day. I'll be like, I did, check your voicemail. Or, you know, things of that nature. But I would always do that to him. So another thing is stay positive. Just stay positive. Because it's bad enough that your young adult is already also dealing with fear and anxiety. And what they don't need is the negativity. They really don't need that. So by staying positive, thinking about the extra time and energy you might have to devote to either your personal interests that you may have, your marriage, your relationships, once your child leaves home, but keep a positive attitude. Auntie, what do you think about that in regards to staying positive?
After the question again, I was texting Sharon, and she said her voice is gone, so she can't call into the show.
Tell Sharon I said she needs to knock it off. I can make a voice. Tell her to suck her stomach in, and then she can talk.
Okay, let me text her, tell her.
That's just an excuse. Tell her that is such. Tell her that is a terrible excuse. So tell her to do, like, you know, use her fake voice. She can do it. So my question was, in regards to staying positive, what do you think about that? For people to stay positive.
Like I said, say, you know, you just go around your kids, you know, make family plannings and stuff, because especially when your grandkids start coming around, you're going to want to go around your grandkids, you know, and then the grandkids make it all worth it, all worth the kids being gone. You know, you can go out and visit. I just came from John's house for the weekend, you know, for Terrell's graduation, you know, and they're always happy to see me, and I'm always happy to see them.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so that right there takes a lot of pressure off. And then another thing is, once you get retirement age, you will be glad they're gone, because they're there. You know, you won't be able to go and do what you want to do. You know,
that is
they
true.
Need to be independent.
And, you know, and it's interesting because not only just doing what you want to do, but then sometimes they want to drop them grandkids off on you.
Right.
I feel like, look, I am not want to be. I'm not gonna be no stay at home babysitter. I don't mind going to work. I will get up before the sun comes out, and before it could be almost the sun about to come up again before I'll be ready to come home. My grandkids called me yesterday, Granny, we got some KFC for you, Granny. We want to come see you, Granny. I didn't even go home to get no KFC. By the time I got home last night, it was still probably 10 or 11 o'clock at night. And as soon as I was on my way to my office, I saw them at the store, and I pulled up on the side of them, and I said, what you doing with? Why you not at school? Now, I'm questioning them, but my granddaughter was scared. So she said, see, you never know where you might run into me at. But like I said, part of that is the grandkids do make it worth your while, but I'm just not one that want to be sitting at home watching grandkids all day either. Now, I want to give the listeners some information, and I know the people in the radio land probably like, oh, she's just so mean. No, I'm not mean. I want to have a life. I don't want my whole life to be revolved around my adult kids and my grandkids.
Yeah.
So sometimes I got to take care of me sometimes. Now, I want to give the listeners some information on how to recover from the empty nest syndrome. Because even though we're talking about what am I supposed to do, how am I supposed to handle this? But until before I even transition to that, I want to share with you some information that I saw on the, it was on the internet. And it said, 30-year-old living at home calls the police on his father.
Right,
parents
because he wouldn't
issue
let him get the kids legal.
Order or eviction for him to move out. Then before leaving, this person called the police over a toy dispute of Legos with his father. Now, it said this young man, age 30, does not pay rent or help with chores. And this happened in New York. He drove away in a Volkswagen Passat that required a jump from a pickup truck, according to the Post Standard. I mean, according to the news. What do you think about that? You're 30 years old, not paying bills, not doing anything, and you got the nerve to call the police on your father over some Legos?
Mm-hmm.
See, that's
kind
of what happened online. That right there is just not acceptable.
Right. And he said he's never talking to his parents again because they went to court to get him out. They went to court to get him to move.
Wow. And that's crazy because the thing is, I'm quite sure his parents, are probably like, you know what? I don't care if you don't ever talk to me again.
Right.
I remember growing up.
Right.
The first time I had ever heard of a restraining order was a family had got up, this woman, she had about 9 kids, I think it was 7 or 9, and she had to get a restraining order on them. She said, if you guys have one more child, I'm going to get a restraining order. And she restrained her adult kids away from her house, too. I was like, wow. Now, a lot of times, like I said, we know that the millennials are worse off than the generations before them, and American millennials in their 30s earn an average of 4% less or either 20% less than individuals born between 1966 and 1980, which is what people say. But that fear, auntie, you got to learn how to stand on your own 2 feet. You cannot expect for your parents. And one of the things that I've seen growing up is when the adult children stress their parents out. They have a sense of entitlement. They blame their parents for everything. And it becomes, it's an issue. It is an issue. So, again, if you want to call in, as we're talking about this topic in regards to the empty nest syndrome, call in at 516-387-1914. Now, how to recover? And I'm getting this information straight from, it's called wikihow.com. And it says, how to recover from empty nest syndrome. Even though the nest of a family, which is like a nest of a bird, and when it's the right time to fly, the young has to fly away, as it is just a way of life. And parents must deal with the absence of family, friends, and love when children have flown from the nest of their family to build their own. However, for some people, especially the primary caregiver, this can be a time of great emptiness and sadness and can easily tip into depression if healed. Now, in regards to this article, the article is not only designed to help the parents, but also designed to help the children to leave home secure in the knowledge that they will have a solid home based behind them and the ways for their parents to deal with grief from their separation. And I want to say, too, a lot of times, even just preparing your young child for this departure, and a lot of this has to do with people's culture, is we have to be mindful that a lot of times the parents don't mean no harm when they say get out or I'll be glad when you leave. I remember one of my friends, her father used to always say, I can't wait for you to get 18. I can't wait for you to get 18. And he meant it. But it wasn't in a bad way. He wanted to make sure that she was able to be prepared for this departure or this transition. Now, if you are experiencing your children, are they about to be leaving, whether they're leaving now or it's going to be next year, take the time to check that they are aware of how to do their basic essentials for caring for themselves alone. A lot of times, I always say, we try to teach our kids to be responsible, which some parents don't even do that, but we don't teach our kids to be accountable. They have to know who they are accountable to and for. Now, make sure that they know how to wash their clothes, cook for themselves, deal with neighbors' dispute, balance a checkbook, negotiate for good deals when buying things, and know how to appreciate the value of money, which is most important, is that value of money. While some of these things will improve with practice, it's important to talk through this or to them about this and show them some basics so that they won't be left completely adrift. Auntie, did you do that with your children? Because I know Saran has always been smart. Did you try to teach them how to do these things before they left? Because I noticed with Tisha now, with Ryder, she got him taking out trash, sweeping floors, and he only 2. So she tried her best. She's trying to get him to do it because she don't want to do it. So I done figured that part out. Yeah. But
well,
did you try to?
My boys are better at it than she is. My boys are better. They know how to cook on their own. They know how to wash their clothes. They know how to balance their books, you know, do the finances and stuff. I told them, you know, I do a book, and I write all my bills down and put when this needs to be paid. You know, okay, this is paid with this check, this is paid with this check. That's how I do, and I try to teach them to do it. But you know how sometimes kids are hard-headed.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, because Sharon is the main one, even though she's smart.
Sharon, like me, she's a big baby. She don't want to do nothing. So,
yeah.
But the bottom line is, you just can't wait till the last minute. Because if you wait till the last minute, and now you have an anxiety because you know as a parent, there's things that you should have taught them that you didn't because you constantly was doing it for them. But again, don't panic. Because accept that this is happening and, you know, that there's so many things that they're going to learn on their own. Another thing with preparing, like I said, shift aside the terrifying thoughts. You know, a lot of times you have to let your kids know that home is their permanent base for whenever they need or want to return home. Not that you really want them to come back that soon, but you do want to try to set that foundation because this provides both you and your children with a very secure sense of belonging and safety. And if your kids are miserable for the initial time that they're away, don't be secretly pleased about this. They're going to have to work through these emotions while they're getting used to the new arrangement. And they'll need your active support in this. You know, I have a lady, God, I wish she would have called in because she has a developmentally delayed son. And he'd be like, you're a bad mom. But you're almost 50. He do not want to move out. He refused. So a lot of times, like I said, sometimes kids will put that parental guilt on their parents, and that's so not fair. Again, explore ways to keep in touch. Like you said, we talked about that. There's a lot of different ways. And understand what emptiness syndrome is so that you can recognize the symptoms in your own situation. And like I said, it's going to be different for different people. And like I said, it impacts women in particular because motherhood is viewed as the primary role for both working and stay-at-home moms and the role to which the women dedicate themselves as a principal are being primarily responsible for the average of either 20 years or what the kids are doing in their day-to-day life. And I think that's why my sister struggles more than me and my other sister. But a child leaving can precipitate a feeling of this, and, you know, they will, like I said, they will take advantage of it sometimes. So another thing is accept the support. A lot of times, auntie, people don't want to hear when people say you got to let go or you're going to have to move on. They get mad. They get offended. What you mean I got to let go? Those are my kids. I can do what I want. No, you have to let them grow up. You cannot handicap or enable them by doing things for them that they could do for themselves. So acknowledge your grief. It doesn't matter what other people think or say about getting on with it. Unacknowledged grief will gnaw away at you if you don't face it on your own, and you'll be upset all the time. And that's why, like you said, when you start getting involved in your kids' marriages and their relationships, because a lot of times you don't even understand or you don't even acknowledge it because you don't see it. Another thing is treat yourself. While going through the hardship of grief, don't neglect yourself. Have a regular massage. Go to the movies. You know, take care of you. I done got to the place, auntie, now. My daughter be looking for me. I'm on my way to the casino. I'm going to the buffet. I'm going to get a massage. I'm going to get my nails done. I'm not going to be sitting here driving myself crazy over the empty nest syndrome. What are some of the things that you've done to take care of yourself, to treat yourself?
You know what? I do the same thing. I go to the casino. I just left the casino. I go to the casino. You know, I'm retired now. I go down to the state line and stay for 3 days, you know, because they send for me to come down there. So I go down there and stay. I fly to Ohio and go and visit Lizzie. You know, I go get my nails done. I go to the movies and the buffet by myself. You know, people say, I don't want to go by myself. I don't care. I go by myself everywhere, and I enjoy myself going by myself.
And that's true. Like I said, I'm my best friend, so I get along with me very well.
Yeah.
Also, consider having what they call a letting go ritual. Having a ritual in which you let go of your children as they turn into adults and let go of the active parenting role can be an important and what they call a cathartic way to help you move on. Some suggestions include one of those things where you say plant a tree, you know, you can decorate certain things. You can do a lot of different things. It was so funny, Sia, before Jean died, when her house got empty, she said she was going to go get some foster kids. I told her, you get some foster kids, you going to jail. You trying to get some slaves. You ain't trying to have no kids. You start treating them kids like you treated them, you going to jail. That was being mean. But that's the truth. Another thing, if you are married, talk to your spouse about your feelings. He or she may be feeling similar emotions and will relish the chance to talk it through. And I wanted to say, too, a lot of times is that it makes your relationship stronger. Because now you can take that time to bond more with your mate, where you can do things together that you wanted to do but you couldn't do because you had kids at home. And that can either strengthen your relationship or it can break your relationship up. But, again, it is your choice. But don't use that as an excuse. And like I said, start looking at your own needs, because once you're satisfied that in regards that you've set your child on the right path, don't be what they call a busybody and try your best to stay out of their way. Give them the opportunity to grow. And as they're growing, you're going to be growing because you're going to rediscover the love of your life. And even if you are a single parent. Now, I have a question, Auntie. Do you think that it's more difficult when you are a single parent or relationship and married? When you're dealing with the emptiness syndrome. When you're a single parent or when you are either with someone or in a relationship or married.
No, I don't know. Because, you know, I've been single so long. I just find stuff to do by myself. But I know a lot of people, you know, that have companions. You know, a lot of people, you see couples a lot of places. Like when I go to Bingo, I see a lot of older couples, you know, since I'm retired and stuff. So I guess it's probably better to do it with somebody else than alone. You know, it's always better with two than one, as long as you get along, if that's your best friend, you know.
Correct. And I want to say, because I know when Tisha was going to college, I was married. And, you know, I don't know if he went with me to go drop her off or not, but we really didn't talk about Tisha going to college. We didn't really... You know, I didn't really bring that up, and is my point in regard to that. So I'm wondering if, because you are a single parent and you're so used to being a primary caregiver and just ending and breaking up with you, your perception of that relationship versus having someone to tell you, no, Jeanette, you need to let her grow up, or no, Jeanette, you need to back off a little bit, or you know, taking someone's advice, because I can see where in a marriage or a relationship it can cause conflict, but I also see how it can cause growth. And that was why I was asking that question, because remember, if your children were the only bonding force in your marriage, you and your spouse may need to work on your own relationship to restore what has been neglected between the two of you, especially if you feel that your relationship is now redundant. Sometimes seeking couples counseling, if you feel this would assist in the transition that bring you back together again. Also, acceptance that this is a difficult time of transition can allow both of you to have uncertainties and messiness of growing together as a couple without your kids again. And that's interesting, too, because sometimes I remember seeing a sign. It was so funny. It was a cartoon thing. And a man had a big old sign said, the woman had a sign told the husband, honey, you can come home now. The kids are gone. I was like, ooh, that's cold. You know, like, I don't want to be there with those kids. So another thing, it can help if you develop the mindset that you expect your spouse or partner to have changed at least a little, because after all, both of you have aged a lot since meeting, and you've been through many different experiences during these times of raising your children. You got a lot of background noise, Auntie. So that's another thing, and like you said, spending time together. Now, Auntie, what is some of the tips that you want to leave the listeners with to try to help them if they're going through this, considering that all of your kids have grown? And I didn't even know that Romy was married. Wow.
Yeah, Romy been married for almost 2 years.
That's crazy. I used to babysit Romy.
Right. Romy has a daughter. He has a 1-year-old daughter.
Okay. Yeah,
I don't know. You know what? Sometimes it might be better if they do have a spouse, because you have somebody to deal with it with you. You know?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it seems like that would be more helpful a lot of times, you know, instead of you having to go through it by yourself, you know. You have somebody mm-hmm. else to go through it with you and give you advice and help you along, you know. But like I said, just let them go and live on their own. Give them the advice as they need it. And, you know, let them live their life. Adults, you know, no matter how old you are, when you're an adult, you're going to always need your parents' advice, you know, on some things. So, you know, it's not like you, the adult is just married and moved on and, you know, they're no longer yours. You're going to always be a parent. John, my oldest son, John, will be 45 in November. He still calls me for advice.
Mm-hmm. Well, yeah, Auntie, you said something very important. And basically, when we talk about advice, it's when they ask for it. A lot of times we put our nose into business that's not ours, or we're trying to fix things that they didn't ask for our help.
Right.
And that definitely becomes a problem, you know. And it's interesting. I'm looking online, and they had a show, a TV show called The Empty Nest. That was a TV series from 1988 to 1995, and it was a comedy. And in regards to, you know, sometimes we make joke of it, but the bottom line is these are things that people are really, really – they have to deal with. And it can be a wonderful experience, but you got to understand those feelings, those emotions. And some people say, well, how can I avoid it? You know, first of all, you're not going to be able to avoid your feelings and your emotions. So it's just if you're feeling it, you're going to have to be able to just deal with it, to get through it, to acknowledge it. Is one of the things that you can basically do, because you don't want to make it seem like it don't bother you, because if you ignore it, it's going to come out in other things, and a lot of times it's also going to show in our behavior. That's part of the problem. So we want to make sure that it's not affecting us in our behavior. Now we have 3 minutes left on the show. And as we are engaging in this conversation, I'm trying to find some questions that some of the listeners may have. Okay, one of them says, too, this is my first time going through this, and I feel depressed because I'm afraid for my child who's going to be going to college out of state. What can I do? Now, I want to say to this caller whose child is going to be going to school out of state, and hopefully you went on a college tour, you kind of, you know, saw where your child is going to be going. It doesn't say which state the child is going to be going to. I want to say basically give your child also time to adjust and adapt. Don't put your anxiety off on your adult child that's on her way to college, because if you do that, that's going to create more anxiety in that child too. What do you think about that, Auntie?
Yeah, that's true. Because just remember, no matter where your child is, they're on your phone all the way. You know,
that is
you can still talk to them whenever you get ready to, but give them space. Because they're going to be meeting other friends and stuff, and you don't want to interfere in their lives, you know. But just be there for them.
Okay. I have another question. The other question is from a person. It says, I just graduated last week, and I'm concerned about my mother and leaving my mother with my father because I am concerned that my father is abusive, and I've always been there to protect my mother because we were best friends. Now, I'm going to say in regard to this, one of the things is stay out of your parents' business. And if your mother is in an abusive relationship and have been with your father, you don't want to put your life on hold by not wanting to go to school or be stressed out about what's going on in your parents' life when now it's time for you to get an education, and just make sure you break the cycle. Just make sure that you don't continue or get yourself caught up and be so busy worried about what's going on in your parents' home that you fail to thrive or focus on school. What do you think about that, Auntie?
Yeah, that's true, because if you worry about things, you're not going to be able to focus. You're not going to be able to put the full focus on your schoolwork, you know, and then going to college would just be a waste of time, you know. You have to focus on your own life and just talk to your parents as much as you can, you know. Talk to your mother, make sure she's okay.
Correct.
Okay, we have 60 seconds left on the air. And, Auntie, I want to thank you for joining me and being a trooper in this show. And we talked about Nest syndrome. And, again, it is a syndrome. It is not a diagnosable, treatable syndrome. It is something of that the emotions that individuals go through when they're dealing with the loss and the transition of their children leaving home from the home and branching out on their own, as which is a natural process. Again, I want to thank you for joining me here. I will be on the air tomorrow with Pastor Dan Estelle, as we're going to be talking about equally yoked. And what does that term mean? Considering that a lot of individuals will be getting married during the month of June. June is the time for wedding in the summertime. Next week, I'm going to be talking about home ownership. So if you are interested in buying a home, I'm going to be having someone who is a real estate agent on the air with me, as we're going to be talking about home ownership. So join me tomorrow, Precious Predicaments, Blog Talk Radio. So we're going to be talking about equally yoked. Until then, remember, you got this. Thank you, Auntie. Talk to you later.
Okay. All right. Thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.